Read God's Word, and this is really the very central message of Christmas itself, taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 to 12. Let's read it together. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Please be seated. That is the message of Christmas right there in a nutshell. No matter how you look at it, and no matter how many times you ever heard of it, every time I hear about it, every time I hear that story, it gives me a little tingle because I know it's the most beautiful story of all. Well, how many are familiar with Charlie Brown's Christmas? Hey, everybody likes Charlie Brown, right? And Charlie Brown was quite a guy, wasn't he? And everybody has their Christmas story. Some people like the "It's a Wonderful Life." I know people that watch that movie every year at Christmas time. "A Wonderful Life." Yesterday morning, I watched Charlie Brown's Christmas, and I had an hour or so. I wasn't doing much. And it's a beautiful animation. The story is that the gang is angry at Charlie because he bought this pitiful-looking Christmas tree. If you ever heard of anybody buying a Charlie Brown tree or having a Charlie Brown tree standing up in your living room or whatever, that's where we get the term Charlie Brown tree. You got a Charlie Brown tree right now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's an electronic Charlie Brown tree. Yeah. Charlie didn't bring home a electronic Charlie Brown tree. It was a real tree, by the way. It's pretty scruffy looking, in fact. And a dejected Charlie Brown said this when that Charlie Brown tree was brought home. He says this, that everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I don't know what Christmas is all about. That's what he said. And then he asks this question, is there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about? It's quite a question, isn't it? Is there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about? Let me ask you that question. Do you know what Christmas is all about? Or is it all the shopping stuff that goes on? And oh boy, anybody out in the traffic the last couple of days is unbelievable. Stay away, stay home. That's my advice. Well, Linus says, "Sure, Charlie Brown, I can tell you what Christmas is all about." And then Linus steps center stage, and what does he do? Does he read "'Twas the Night Before Christmas"? No. He reads this passage right here. He reads from the actual account of the story of the birth of Jesus. All right, Greg, you can wake up. I'm picking on Greg again. He reads from the story of the birth of Jesus. And he reads that passage, and the passage we just read. You know, after that program came on, I'm not sure how many years ago that came on the air, the executives that produced that program wanted that part banned. They wanted this passage of Scripture banned from the production. And they said, "You can't read long passages of the King James Version on broadcast TV. Everybody will fall asleep. You lose the audience." So Schultz, who came up with this whole program, this animation, said, if we don't tell the Christmas story, who will? If we don't tell the Christmas story, who will? And as it turned out, the network executives were wrong, because that made the Christmas story come alive. The reading from Luke chapter 2 in particular is my favorite part of the Christmas story, which is why this scene from Charlie Brown is my favorite of all the Christmas specials. I especially like these verses. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Everybody can almost recite it by heart. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to what? All people. For unto you this day is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is what? Christ the Lord. Christ the Lord. I like this because these shepherd boys in their culture, you know, they were not special. They were just ordinary, scruffy-looking teenagers. They were poor, mostly uneducated kids who spent days and weeks at a time with their flocks as they sought out pastures and as they sought to protect all the sheep. And as they did their job, being a shepherd was low-level work. It really was. It was sort of at the bottom of the heap. It was something maybe like being a ditch digger. It required no degree. The pay wasn't good. Parents did not aspire for their children that when they grew up someday, that they would be shepherds. That was not parents' desire back even in that day. And yet these young men that were chosen by God to hear the first announcement of Jesus' birth, when the angels made that announcement, these boys were there in the right place at the right time to hear that message being proclaimed. Now Linus tells us that when the shepherds saw the angels, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, they were what? Sore afraid. They were sore afraid. More recently, translations say this. The NIV says, they were terrified. And I suppose, maybe if you or I were there on that night, maybe you'd be terrified too. Maybe I'd be terrified. We wouldn't know what was going to happen. And so, more recent translations say that, but they didn't know what was happening. And they didn't know what to expect, if this was something good or bad or whatever it was. They didn't know. So the first words spoken to the angels were, fear not, fear not. Those are words that we hear a lot, people trying to encourage individuals to fear not. You're facing surgery, and someone says, don't fear. The doctors are going to take care of you. You're facing a difficulty in life, and a friend may speak up and say, don't be afraid, don't fear. This is week two of our series as we look ahead to the foundational truths of the Christmas story. As we talked about last week, we talked about God becoming our friend. God sending us a friend request, and it being up to you as to whether you receive that or whether you accept that friend request or not in your heart. Today I want us to think about this word, these words, fear not. To help me do that, there's an old Christmas carol that's been around a long time. And it's not really popular in the Christmas carol lineup. It's not up there like Joy to the World or Angels from the Realms of Glory or any of those. I don't think it's even in our Baptist hymnal. It's in the Methodist hymn book. So Judy helped me find it. And it's a beautiful, beautiful song. It's called In the Bleak of Midwinter. In the bleak of midwinter. My winter can get bleak, can't it? It really can. And here is a beautiful song, and I'm going to have Judy play a verse of it. Go ahead. one or two in the bleak of winter. An interesting name for a Christmas carol in the bleak of winter. And here's the words. You know, it's not a very bouncy song. It'd probably put you to sleep if you listen to two or three more verses of it. It's pretty dead sounding. You know, it's pretty dull. But listen to the words. You know, I used to think of the melody and the tune, whether it had a little bounce to it or not, but nowadays I listen to the words. And it says this, in the bleak midwinter, frosty wind made moan, earth stood hard as iron, water like a stone. Snow had fallen, snow on snow, snow on snow on snow. It sounds like Aroostook County, Maine. In the bleak midwinter, long ago, now listen to this part, our God, heaven cannot hold him, nor earth sustain him. Heaven and earth will flee away when he comes to reign. In the bleak midwinter, a stable place sufficed. The Lord God Almighty, Jesus Christ. That makes that song come alive to me, hearing those words. Those words resonate because I think we all know that the midwinter can be very dark, can be very bleaky, if you want to put it that way. The midwinter, especially November through to January, if it wasn't for Christmas, I don't know where I'd be in this dull time of year where the days are shortened. I have two brothers that maybe some of you know that work out in Northern Alberta, Canada, in the oil fields. Right now, they're getting 4 hours of daylight and 20 hours of darkness. In the summertime, it's reversed. 20 hours of daylight, 4 hours of darkness. I cannot for one moment see myself living in that particular environment. Plus the fact it's 40, 50 below zero, too. So, in the bleak midwinter. But you know, all of us have faced the midwinter. All of us have come across fear. All of us have experienced dread. We've experienced regret. We've experienced disappointment. We've experienced uncertainty in life. We've experienced sickness. And one thing after another, and sometimes it happens in threes, doesn't it? Three bad things come together. And they do it quite often for some. But I want to encourage you this morning that in the midst of a bleak winter, now, I think we can still feel blessed here in Maine. We haven't had it really bad yet. But in the midst of the midwinter, and I want to suggest to you that you can experience the midwinter in the middle of July. You can experience the bleakness of deadness, of disappointment, of fear, of loneliness. You can experience that when the sun shines the brightest and the longest, because it's a matter of the heart. There are three things I want to share with you very quickly about this whole idea of fear. Fear is something that can do you in. Did you know that? It can do you in. It can destroy you. I want to share three things, encourage you very briefly. Number one, you need not fear the future. That is the message of Christmas. There is no need to fear the future. There's no need to fear the bleakness of whatever the future might be. The shepherd boys were sore afraid because they didn't understand what was happening that night. And they didn't know what was about to happen. In hindsight, it's easy for us to see that it was, really was, the glory of the Lord. The shepherds couldn't see that at that moment, at that time. They might have thought that everything was spinning out of control. They might have thought that everything was in a state of chaos and the world was coming to an end. So they were terrified. Their hearts were terrified. And the angel said this, "Don't be afraid. Fear not." I like those words, "fear not" is a better translation. "Fear not. There will be times when things happen to you, my friend, and probably they've already happened. There'll be times when things will happen to you in the days ahead that you don't understand, that it may look terrifying from your point of view. It may look like chaos. It may look like the end has come, like the end of the world, like Armageddon. But we serve a God who is in control of everything. And He is a good God. And that's why we say He is good all the time. He is good. He is a powerful God. And He wants to pour out His favor in your life. And when things happen that from your limited perspective you simply do not understand, you cannot comprehend, don't be afraid. Trust the goodness of God. The goodness of God is in the land of plenty. We often fear uncertainty because we fear losing control. Nobody wants to be swept along like a tumbleweed in the wind. We want to be in charge. We want to be in control. But that's not always possible. I have a friend of mine who lives in Aroostook County who was in a serious car accident about 10 years ago. We were up there a while back, and you know, he's fully recovered. He's okay now, but he can hardly ride in a car. He has a hard job getting in an automobile because he's afraid of getting in an accident again. A car will turn with, you know, I had him with me, actually. And I know, you know, my driving is not the best in the world, but he got really nervous with my driving. And I put my blinker on, and he'd say, "Watch out! Watch out! Watch out!" And there's another car about half a mile down the road turning in a driveway. And you get really afraid about that. You know, that car's about to turn, he says. If you take your hand off the wheel for 1 second, he's more likely to grab the wheel. Have you know anybody like that? Really nervous. And every time he gets in the car with someone else, he's a nervous wreck. No pun intended. It has everything to do with the fear that he can't control. That's a problem with some people. You know, politics, the economy, decisions that people make for themselves, health issues, chaos that comes our way, things that we have absolutely no control over. We can't control these things, but we can do one thing. And what is that one thing? We can trust in the one who is able to make everything, even the seemingly worst events in life, work out for our good. Because God makes all things work together, right? He makes all things to work together for good to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. That's a wonderful promise. This is why Solomon wrote these great and amazing words in the book of Proverbs when he said, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths." Because of Christmas, we don't need to fear the future. Secondly, because of Christmas, you need not fear the past. We all have something in common. We all have a past. Every single one of us here this morning, we have a past. Maybe for some, the past has been more colorful than others. Maybe you've been more places than other people. Maybe you've seen more things. Maybe you've had more experiences than others. And it makes maybe for better gossip, but we all have a past. Because all of us, the Bible says this, that all of us have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. That's in our past. That's behind us. Every single one of us have come short of the glory of God. And I know people who fear that their past negates any hope for the future. They'll say something like this: I did this terrible thing, and I don't deserve God's blessing in my life. They'll say, I've done this terrible thing long ago. I've had a spirit of unforgiveness in my heart. I've had an issue in my life that I've had no control over, and it's hurt other people. Many of us can say that. And now God is finished with me, you might say, because God's not going to take someone like me with all of these issues, all of these problems I've had in the past, all of these things that have just not been right with me nor other people. God's not going to use me. God's not going to bless me. I'm of no use to Him, and I'm of no use to anyone else. Well, let me tell you this, that anyone who has sinned in the past, and guess what? 100% of us here are included in that. We don't need to be told about the damage that sin can do. The Bible says this, that the wages, the penalty for sin is death. But here's the good news. And this is the message of Christmas. This is the message we celebrate. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That is the good news. That's where we stand. Jesus came into this world to save sinners. And guess what? You're one of them. And I'm one of them. And all of us here today, by the grace of God. That's why He went to the cross. That's why He died between two thieves. That's why He said, "It is finished." That is why He said, Abba, Labba Shabbatani, my God, why have you forseken me?" All those seven last words on the cross, He said them. You see, God doesn't sweep the past under the rug and pretend it was no big deal, like it wasn't as ugly as it was. The Bible uses very strong language to describe our hurtful and destructive behavior. And that word is sin. S-I-N. And the Bible makes it clear that there's only one solution for the darkness of our past, and that is the grace of God. The grace of God through His Son, Jesus Christ. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And we can be forgiven by the one whose forgiveness matters most. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. And so, we can be forgiven from the past. The past is something that we get hung up on. And we need not fear the past. And finally, we need not fear today. Today, this very hour. You may have an issue going on in your life. You need not fear today. You may be saying, "I don't know if I can do this." Have you ever heard someone say that? You know, have you said it to yourself? It's not easy living in the moment, is it, sometimes? Sometimes we dwell on the past and we dream for the future, but we forget about the present. It's not easy taking action when action needs to be taken. It's so much easier instead to do nothing. It's an unpleasant topic. There are many who celebrate their pardon from the past and anticipate the glorious future that God has for them. But when it comes to today, they're not quite ready to take the plunge. You may say, "Well, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can face another day. It's still winter. It's bleak out. My heart is bleak. Maybe tomorrow I'll feel better." The message of Christmas is this: that you don't have to wait till tomorrow to begin living the victorious life today. That's the message. It's yours today. The Bible says that now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. For unto you is born this day, not tomorrow, not yesterday, but this day. Unto you is born this day the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. So I just want to leave you with that this morning. I want to encourage you. You know, Linus told Charlie Brown and the whole nation what Christmas is all about. Luke chapter 2. He got up there and read it right on the stage, boldly. Now, if you're familiar with the Peanut Gang, you know that Linus is the one who carries the blanket with him all the time. You see that scene? He carries the blanket. It's called a security blanket. My grandchildren carry that little security blanket with them. Everywhere they go, a little blankie. They call it the blankie. You guys have a blankie? You're too big for a blankie. They still have a blankie. All right. Well, if it means any difference, I have a blankie too. And they carried that little blankie everywhere. And that blankie symbolized insecurity. It symbolized fear. And I suppose Linus needed that blankie because, after all, he had to live with his sister Lucy. And that was pretty tough. And I'm sure life with her was a nightmare. But there's something that Linus read the Christmas story that I have never noticed until a friend pointed it out last year, that Linus steps off the stage, towards off the stage, after he had read the Christmas story. And then, in the moment he says, "Fear not," that blankie fell. That blanket fell on the stage, fell on the ground. And so it was a symbol that he was leaving it behind, that his security was no longer in that blankie, but his security was now in God, because this is what it means to fear not. It means to leave that behind. That's an insignificant piece of cloth that represents all that Linus' insecurities becomes unnecessary in light of the power of the gospel. In light of the power of Jesus Christ in Christmas. And so that blanket hits the floor. And I'm inviting you this morning to let that blanket hit the floor and put your trust in Him. If you've never done it before, this is the season. 'Tis the season to do just that. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the reminders of that we need to let go of the past. We need to put our trust in you. We need not fear today. We need not fear tomorrow. We need not fear yesterday. But we can trust you with all our hearts. Help us to do just that by your grace, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.